This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boynodiris, Sandy Kearney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
Episode 77, Hive Mind Blowing. Good morning. This is Phaedra Boynodiris. I am your co-host at GamesAtWork.biz, and I am joined here by the two Michaels set in lovely Durham, North Carolina. They're actually together on Michael's kitchen table. Hi, guys.
Durham!
Durham!
We're lashing ourselves to the mast here while the rain is
going left and right at the same time.
Yes.
But don't get blown away. Here it's quite calm and peaceful.
There's it's, some coming clouds, though, but... it's coming your way.
It's coming
your way.
It's coming. Well, welcome all to our show. We've got a lot of interesting things to talk to you about today. In particular, so the reason why we have labeled our show Hive Mind Blowing is there is actually a very interesting crowdsourcing game on the horizon called Twitch Play. And today, Michael is going to talk to you about it. What have you found out, Michael?
All right. So this actually came to me from my oldest son, which I appreciate him sharing with me some of the things that he finds on more than one occasion. And this Twitch Play started about a week and a day or two ago, where someone had the grand idea to take Pokemon Red and put it up on the web and invite anyone to play it collectively.
Oh, not just anyone. Everyone to play
everyone
collectively.
Collectively. And when we were looking at this a couple nights ago, there were millions of people that had actually played it. At the time that we were playing it, or he was playing it, I was kind of looking over his shoulder.
Playing or attempting to play?
There were 80,000 people playing the game at once. So let me explain for just a moment how this works. So
how does it work, Michael?
So Pokemon.
Pokemon.
You know about Pokemon.
You got to collect them all?
You got to collect them all.
Okay.
Yes. So, but this was a Nintendo Game Boy or Game Boy Advance kind of cartridge game, and the deal was you would go through the Pokemon world and you would try to collect them all by, you know, launching your Pokemon from your Pokeball and fighting another Pokemon and then capturing them and so on.
And you Poke win or Poke lose.
Yeah, you can. So, you know, it's a single player massively online world, and you kind of it is.
It's an RPG.
Yeah.
It's not an MMO. It's an RPG. Single-player RPG.
Okay.
Right?
Fine. But it's a
role-playing game.
But you're not really so much playing a role.
Well, yes, you are. You're the guy collecting the Pokemons and training them, and you have a little adventures that are within the Pokies.
All right. So you got to go to various gyms, and you have interactions and blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
All right. So the twist on this game...
Pokemon with a twist.
It is that... Everyone is invited to play. So in the chat off to the right, people are saying, go up, go down, press A, press B.
And that's how it's controlling the game. They're not just saying that to annoy you.
No.
It's, when they say up, it's as if someone pressed the up key on the Game Boy cartridge.
Yes.
And
well, on the Game Boy Advance, not the cartridge, because that wouldn't help.
Yeah, yeah, you probably wanted it on the player, not on the cartridge itself, because there's probably not many buttons on the cartridge.
Not too many.
But, yeah.
And cartridges, for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, are these things that have actually code on them that you would plug into
a
device.
They're plastic little boxes.
Like an A-track.
With a not code on it. It's not just code. There's a EEPROM that's built into a card... Like a motherboard, polycarbonate motherboard that you plug into another slot A into tab B into slot A in order to connect it up, right?
So the
crazy man.
If you go to the link, the game is still ongoing, and there were people who are predicting how long would it take to reach certain easy milestones in this game.
Well, I watched it for a few minutes this morning, and during that time period. The right-hand side was just scrolling by at almost unbelievable speeds because you couldn't read it. It was almost that fast.
Yes.
And what I kept seeing was the little Pokemon guy or the guy who's – I never played it, but like taking three steps and the game restarting, taking two steps and switching characters, backing to the game restart. I mean, it was like total pandemonium.
It's chaos. Chaos.
Well, that was said a lot in the chat.
But they're saying that there's two modes of gameplay. One is anarchy mode and one is democracy mode. So democracy mode, I would assume.
That's why they kept saying anarchy and democracy in the game. I kept seeing that going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Well, they were trying to vote because the game mode will flip from anarchy to democracy.
Oh, my God.
So, so if you look on, there's a bar. There's like a power bar that is going between those two. So when there's enough votes to get to democracy, then democracy rules.
And it's cooperative.
Well, kind of. It's like if you say up and I say up and Phaedra says up and there's more people saying up,
then it goes
then
up.
It goes up. If it's anarchy mode, my understanding is it really doesn't matter. It'll just pick something. You know, from amongst all the people who are voting. And the game has attracted not only a bunch of people who are, you know, avid players, because this is a throwback game for some, you know.
Well,
For some, it's even a bigger throwback game. And they're happy to play it. And they're happy to do it collaboratively. Oh, sorry. I wanted to bang the table. I was making a point.
It'll pick it up on the microphone.
Taking my shoe off and pounding the table. They were eager to play the game. And they thought, well, surely people, and lots of them, will collaborate to a point to achieve a common goal.
Ah, but if you think about it, basically that game was going to entropy. And entropy is a state of everything just kind of being, right? And is the topic of that TED Talk that you sent, talking about artificial intelligence and how intelligence is not necessarily a state of driving to something, but it's almost driving to entropy in the standpoint of when you ignore the intelligence aspect, you can put very simple systems in place that will be intelligent. And that was a cool talk.
Yeah. So my wife gave me the TED Talk. And so now you're going to see these dots begin to connect.
Right? Hey, there's a hive mind going on right here.
Exactly. So the game that's being played for Pokemon links directly into this concept of intelligence from the guy's name is Alex Visner-Gross. And he's describing a situation where intelligence is a factor of keeping your options open. So the longer you keep your options open, it gives you more opportunity for success in the future.
Yep.
And you can, Which is evolution. And it keeps your options open right now so that in the future you have more choices to choose between.
Even if the option that you take looks like a limiting option, and the example he gave was going through a tunnel.
Yes.
Right? That tunnel may seem very limiting because it's a single pipe that you're going through.
Right.
But by going through that, you keep your options open on the other end. Otherwise, you would just stay and not go.
Well, right? You're making a choice to be in the tunnel and go through the tunnel. And if you're playing the Pokemon game, you could be in that tunnel for hours because people are arguing about whether they go forward or back.
But over time, the hive mind of that game, whether it's anarchy or democracy, should achieve the goals of the game.
It should.
If Alex's theory on intelligence or his new equation for intelligence holds true.
Yes.
Because everybody in that game there are a lot of people being snarky from what I could tell, right? I mean, they were saying stuff besides anarchy, democracy, up, down, left, right, and press.
Well, sure. And some of the comments were hilarious.
Yes. But if you think about that as a way of progressing the common good or the evolutionary trail of Pokemon going through the game,
yes,
it would be really interesting, like in 6 months, if that game keeps going, to see how far it actually went, even though people can reset at any time. If you got rid of reset, I bet you it would be even more interesting.
I thought they got rid of reset, but people kept on doing like the start save, right?
Right.
And save does absolutely nothing in the concept of that game.
Right.
But people are used to saving their status along the way, so people were doing that item. Phaedra, we've monopolized the conversation so far. So I'm interested in your reactions and how this clicks in with some of the things you've been looking at from AI and others.
Well, I was just curious. I mean, to your point you just made, Michael Rowe, doesn't it assume that everyone who's playing the game is equally motivated to learn? Like before they make a move, You know, if you want the whole system to be optimized and for people to work together, doesn't it make that assumption?
No, that's the interesting thing about this equation that the guy talks about in the TED Talk.
Well, and
it doesn't assume there's a common goal. It doesn't, other than optimizing for the future.
Because people could really not care and just vote for whatever or, you know, make a whatever move without being informed. And so that's why I'm wondering, does that really hold true?
But it's a game. So the part of this here is that the people who are playing the game derive the value out of playing the game. I think we can say that. For some people, the value that they derive out of playing the game is to disrupt the game, to be snarky and just be a troll.
Right. Yes.
And for them, that's high value because they're watching people go, no.
But the interesting thing is, right? I mean, they took that algorithm and applied it to games.
Yes.
And watched it without understanding the rules of the game, without any definition, if I understood the TED Talk correctly. I mean, yeah. I'd like to see the real research behind it, right?
Sure.
the algorithm optimized itself to the game.
Well, and I would argue that the oh gosh, now the economic terms are failing me, but the net productive value for the game player will be such that the people, the trolls and the snarky folks, will eventually tire of being snarky,
right?
And the objective of the hive mind will achieve what it is intending to achieve.
Yes.
And you know, the hive mind could in the end be a hive mind of trollism. And that would be an achievement too.
That might be the appropriate evolutionary achievement for Pokemon, to become a troll.
Could very well be. This is very interesting. I'll have to check out this TED Talk. Very cool.
You need to watch it, I think. And we'll definitely, as always, have a link to that in our show notes over at gamesatwork.biz.
So I was thinking about application to work, right? Because when you think about this,
robots.
Well,
and that's one of the examples he gives,
right? So I've been listening to a Kill Decision on Audible.
It's a beautiful book.
It's a beautiful book.
It's good.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah.
I haven't ordered Influx yet, which is his new one.
Yeah, it's supposed to come out next week.
Yeah, but it will. It's on the list. I'm still reading a couple other books. Actually, I'm reading 9 books right now. And I'm not making progress on any of them, thanks to you, Michael, and Tiny Tycoon.
Oh,
ruining my life.
Well, where I was going with this, between the Daniel Suarez book and Accelerando, too, the concept.
And you've read that book.
I have read that one.
Awesome book.
But I think you clued me into that.
Yes, one. I did.
That
was Charles Stross, I believe.
Charles Stross, exactly. So I'm giggling because of the ideas and the neurons are firing here. The way of achieving the optimal outcome with mass quantities of information, with exploring all potential options and outcomes, is a mechanism that's been used in game theory, in grand challenges, in a lot of different ways for a while, right? It's a bulldozer approach that says, I'm at point time zero. If I think about to the appropriate future time N, how do I maintain the best possible opportunity to be successful, whatever that definition is, at time N by making the decisions I'm making at time zero, right?
Yes.
If I decide that I'm going to brush my teeth today, that might prevent me from having some dental issues at time N. Right, but I'm giving up a utility of that time that instead of brushing my teeth, I could have been playing Pokemon.
Or
Tiny Tycoon with the hive mind.
Yes.
And we make those decisions all the time. So that's on a personal level. But if we think about it from a business perspective, think about this for a moment. How could we capture business thoughts? And a business problem that we could apply the same kind of mass quantity of brain power, to try to solve that problem. So we're contemplating the idea of what business activity we could apply the same game concept to, hive mind concept to. And the thing that was striking me was perhaps routing decisions, right? So if you're thinking about logistics and the way of getting goods, material, whatever, from one place to another. There could be a way of doing that, but there are companies that have already.
I was going to say that one's really, been used really many well. Times, and solves it has been solved a couple of times programmatically, right? Yeah. Without the hive mind. So, from a hive mind perspective, I think there's a couple of more interesting ones potentially having to do with, and we talked about this, gosh, years ago with was it Procter & Gamble and their crowdsourcing of scientific ideas?
Oh, it wasn't Procter & Gamble. It was Eli Lilly. Well, Procter & Gamble had a program, too, where they were
their innovation
product ideas.
Yeah, their innovation one.
And Eli Lilly had a similar example where they had a problem where they might say, here's a compound, and we'd like this compound to bound.
Right, and we talked about Foldit, which is another example where the hive mind is trying to solve stuff. But where can you take a hive mind that is not motivated to specifically solve the problem and use that to solve the problem, which is more in line with the thoughts that the TED Talk is about and the guy, the Pokemon game.
Well, right. And we've had this concept before, too, of how can you use something that might be for entertainment purposes that actually has a business outcome associated with it.
But again, the business outcome was kind of hidden.
Yes.
But it was still there. That was the objective.
Yes.
Right? And you actually programmed the game in such a way that it led you down the path to solve the problem.
Yeah.
I'm thinking hive mind. So, for example, I'll give a very personal example. We've had an ant invasion coming in from a water pipe in our dishwasher.
Uh-huh.
That's best we could solve it. And going back to kill decision, one of the things that Daniel Suarez talks about is the idea that drones were programmed to be treated like ants. And ants follow scent patterns.
Yes.
And they don't necessarily go to a certain place, right, by default. They're random movement until they find something, and then they lay down a scent pattern that causes everybody else to go that way.
Well, but it's not this, that doesn't cause everyone else to go that way. What happens is the other ants go that way. They find the same things, and they eventually
add enough of the scent pattern to where other ants will start following the scent pattern.
Which is very much like the Facebook like mechanism.
Yes.
Yes.
So, given that, what is a business challenge where one person finds a solution to a specific problem where the more people who over time find that solution to where it becomes a best practice?
Yeah.
Consulting.
All right, go down your route. I have an idea too.
Yeah, I'm thinking as I go. So one of the big things in consulting is you develop best practices to shortcut all the upfront discovery to solve a certain thing. In logistics, it may be that, you know, you want to optimize thinking of a big freight truck, right?
Yeah.
That's moving freight from point A to point B. You want to optimize idle time.
Sure.
So you may send the rate, the track may be longer, but because it's longer, they're able to keep the vehicle moving and reduce start-stop time and improve fuel efficiency.
It could be. Or,
right? As an example.
The traveling salesman example was one of the other ones that says, okay, I've got a scattershot of points A through N. I need to deliver the things that are on the truck to points A through N. I don't want to have additional stop time or start time. And I want to be able to have the most efficient routing possible.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So the hive mind may do things ways. Ways is a hive mind. It discovers over time the traffic patterns that improve the routes so that you know the route you should take for that one through N.
Yeah.
Because it identifies traffic patterns, it identifies stops, identifies road conditions, et cetera.
And because I like a path by actually driving a path,
more and more
forces the path, just like the ants do.
It's just like, exactly. Because I was killing ants left and right. And we finally found underneath the house,
yes,
the little path that got them in.
Well,
that's what we had to kill.
So what did you do to that path? Because I'll tell you what I've done in that case.
Well, did a bunch of things. We had the bug hive come out. We've got drugs that are being taken back to kill the hive. We've got powder down that confuses them. We tried things to disturb the pheromone scent.
Yes, yes.
So they don't follow it, right? So there's lots of different things that we've done.
Yeah, because that was one of the things that I frequently done around ants, too, is that I would try to erase that path.
Yeah.
Right. By creating enough of the path, the pheromone path ends because I've now covered that scent with something else.
Yes.
And then they can't necessarily go around or find it easily.
Right.
Again.
They'll eventually.
They will through random stuff.
They may eventually find it randomly.
Yes.
But the Waze example, I know we talk about Waze a lot because it's great, but the Waze example is wonderful because I've used lots of different GPS programs over the years.
Yes.
And they all give me a shortest path, but I know based off of driving in certain areas that shortest path is never the right path.
Well, and Waze is actually screwed up in that way too, because the last couple of times I've used it here in the U.S.,
yeah,
it's routed me on shortest path and gives me time estimates that I know are incorrect.
Wrong. Because not enough people are taking that path. So you're improving their data each time you go.
Right. Well, I am because I know my way here well.
So over time, there's a couple routes that I take, like from the office to the house, where actually going back roads is faster.
Yeah.
But most GPSs always try to get me onto the interstate.
Right.
Because in the interstate, in theory, you can go 65 miles an hour. But I happen to know that, one, it takes me out of the way. Two, it's never that speed at the times I need to be going.
Yeah.
So
we landed on transportation logistics anyway. So that's good. So,
well, not yes and no. Yes.
Yeah.
But so what is your other example?
My other example that I came up with while we're talking here is around talent and recruiting and optimization.
You should just randomly hire people. And over time, you'll get the best talent.
No. although you might say that some corporations follow that process, right?
Yes.
I would say that the randomness is not quite there, but you can build a game, and there are many games that do this, where you have talent that you need to recruit and place in particular roles in your game in order to optimize your game outcomes. And in doing so, you're now not using a pure algorithm. You're actually using a hive mind to say, okay, it looks like people are selecting these kind of traits for these kind of roles, and you can begin to determine why are people doing that.
Yep.
And in doing so, you're now opening up some angles of efficiency that maybe weren't there to begin with. You would say, hey, you know, look, I'm hiring, you know, what's a good example? I'm hiring someone to work at the movie theater, and I want to hire them because they are an efficient cooker of popcorn, and you know, they have, you know, fast food experience. And therefore, that's a good thing. But interesting research shows that in a movie theater, that you make more money not on tickets and sales, but on concessions.
Oh, absolutely.
And the traits and qualities of a high-value concession employee is potentially different from someone who can efficiently make change and cook up popcorn. You want someone who's friendly, who's engaging, who's going to catch you.
They might burn 90% of your popcorn, but they
can't. Well, I mean, you know, you don't want to burn things but the way to maximize
hive mind.
Yeah. So you think about how many games are out there that have this kind of thing where you have to select units that have certain traits and qualities, and the game itself can be optimized in a way that rewards or punishes you based upon what you select.
Cool.
And the data of what you select can be just as important as the game outcome of the game, as long as the game continues to be engaging. So, just while we're talking. So, it looks like Phaedra from...
Yeah, we lost Phaedra.
And hopefully...
Big tree just fell in my yard.
Yes.
So there's been a tornado watch and warning that occurred during this recording.
Yes.
So this recording may be a little
jumpy.
Jumbled in the edit. But we hope you stick with us throughout the entire episode. And if you got to this point, you have. So congratulations. You've won the game. You're part of the hive mind that listens to gamesatwork.biz and tells all your friends about it every week on Tumblr, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Google+, and everywhere where better podcasts rock.
It's much better than cats.
But we appreciate your time. We like to hear your feedback, so drop us a note over at gamesatwork.biz or on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz.
See ya.
Bye.
You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and we'd like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.